come together and to declare to the world that you are God, that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you. And so we ask you to bless us, continue to bless us, and to be with us, Lord God. Be in our midst by your Holy Spirit. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come now. Come with all of your quickening power. Come and be among us. Come and be with us. And let your words go forth, Lord God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Lord God, you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. You know, that is a unique question that Jesus asked, and I was not going to start with this, but I remember this as the text was being read. I remember this story many years ago, when I worked at an advertising agency in Manhattan. I worked a long time, for many years in Manhattan. And I worked for this ad agency that advertised for the theater. And so we would get a lot of, tickets to go to the theater. We'd get a lot of opening night tickets and all of that, because the AE would get those tickets, the account executives. And sometimes they really want to fill the theater, or, you know, they always give them comp tickets. So one year it was Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, and I forget the play, it's going to come back in a minute. I don't think it was Virginia, it was another one. They had come back together, and we got orchestra seats. I got two orchestra seats, and it was opening night. And I decided, you know, we were going to go to the play, and I was going to bring my mother. And I says, Mom, we've got to dress up. You know, it's not just like we're going to the theater, we have got to dress up. So we bought lovely dresses. I mean, we always did. And my mother doesn't know what red carpet is or opening night. She doesn't care. But it was opening night. And I was used to the area. I was used to the culture. I worked for that agency for over 15 years. So I knew about opening night and going to Sardis to eat. I saw everything on Broadway. I met Liza Minnelli and George C. Scott. You met them. You would come to the ad agency when you're running the ads. So I was a little bit blasé. It wasn't the first time. The first time was a big deal. So we got all dressed up to go to the theater, my mom and I. And I did not realize it was opening night that we had to also walk the red carpet. Right? It wasn't a big deal like it is now, the red carpet. But I thought we would just go through the other regular door for the regular folks, huh? So we get there and it's all roped. And they say you have to enter through here, and we're walking the red carpet. Now it's a big deal. And we're walking, and my mom and I, we're walking, and she had on a nice little dress, and so did I. I dressed her up. And people are there with their cameras. And they're trying to look to see who it is. Who is this person? You know, who is it? And Oprah wasn't as big as she is now. They probably would have thought I'm Oprah Winfrey. But they were all looking to see who it is. Who is this person? And this little kid had up his camera, and he's looking, and they're trying to figure out, and all of a sudden, this young kid yelled out, he says, oh, they are nobody. That means we were nobody. Who do you say I'm? They are nobody. And people started to smile, and I says, come, Mom, let's go on in. We're nobody. So we did not fit into whatever they were looking for. Whoever they were looking for, we were nobody. He wasn't trying to be mean. It really meant that we were nobody. To them, we were not one of the big stars, right? Who were we? Even though we dressed and we looked lovely and I spent a lot of money on my dress, that did not matter, did it? We were nobody. The question is for us in my sermon title here today is he only God on Sunday? Is Jesus only God on Sunday for us? Right? I read this reflection that says, it starts with, in a hospital waiting room, one rather self-important individual was getting impatient. Unwilling to wait any longer, he barged in and demanded to be seen by the doctor. Don't you know who I am? Shouted the man. The secretary calmly pressed the button on the microphone of our loudspeaker system and ask the waiting patients, I have a gentleman here who doesn't know who he is. Can someone please assist him in finding out? Thank you. And so she wanted the whole place to help him to realize who is he. And the writer continues, if you were to go around asking your friends, what do people say about me? Or who do they say I am? They might take it as an evidence of pride or dementia. But what people believe and say about Jesus Christ will determine their destiny. Our confession concerning Christ is a matter of life and death. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist and publisher, says there are very few who in their hearts do not believe in God, but what they will not do is give him exclusive right of way. They are not ready to promise full allegiance to God alone. Many professing Christian is a stumbling block because their worship is divided. On Sunday, they worship God. On weekdays, God has little or no place in their thoughts. He says, I want people to place their faith in Jesus and motivate them to live more obediently. And so the question for us today is, who do we say Jesus is? For each of us, it will be a different answer, can't it? Shouldn't it? Or it might be, or some of us it may be the same. You know, if I told you to pull out a piece of paper now, and I say to you, write on it who you say Jesus is, what would you write? Take a moment to think on that. What would you write today for yourself? I tried to give you a heads up by asking the children. What would you write? Have you ever pondered in your heart who Jesus is? What would you write down for you? Because ultimately, it is about each and every one of us' relationship with Jesus Christ, isn't it? All right, and you notice the children were trying to do it, to do that and to say who they think Jesus is. It's not necessarily what our mother said or what our father said or grandparents say. When people say to me, oh, you know, my grandmother and grandfather used to go to church and they believe in God, that is not going to save us. They did their part in getting us to church. They did what they had to do. But it's up to us. It doesn't matter if they came every day for 40 years. If we don't have a relationship with God and understand who Jesus is to us, it doesn't work. Now, friends, I was thinking this morning as I was getting ready, there are three P's. There's private, personal, and public. Private, personal, and public, isn't it? And sometimes we get private and personal mixed up, don't we? Friends, right? I was watching Law and Order, one of these things, and the psychologist was talking to one of the detectives who had messed up, and she said to them, whatever you're telling me is confidential. I am from the big guys, wherever I'm from, and I've got to take this information from you. It is confidential, but it will have to be reported. But he put in his head that it was what? Private. And when she reported it, it was personal stuff, but when the psychologist reported it to his boss, he got angry. He says, I thought it was just between you and me. And she says, no, I told you that I had to report it. So private, our faith in Jesus Christ is never private. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Right? It is personal. It's personal because we're building a personal relationship between us and Jesus Christ, between us and God. So it is personal, but it must be public. It has to be public. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel, begin in Samaria, begin in Judea, in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria. So our faith in Jesus Christ is only as two P's. It is personal and public. never private. If all of us in here faith is going to be private, there'll be nobody else coming to this church starting now. Because nobody else is going to know about us. If it's private, other than us two are here, people will pass and see the building, but they won't know who's in the building. Seeing the building, we've learned, doesn't mean that people come into the building. Right? Doesn't mean that they walk in. So it is never private. It is always public and personal. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, some of the images that we have as children about who Jesus is are outdated. But as we get older, we get better images of who Jesus is. Sometimes we dismiss Jesus on the basis of what we knew when we were age six. Some of us have not gone beyond when we were young in Sunday school to get our own adult personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How has he changed for us? How has he developed for us? How has that happened? Some of us have never examined the evidence for ourselves. But we each must answer that question. Is he the Messiah? If that's what you think he is, what does it mean that he is the Messiah? Do you know what it means that he is the Messiah, the one who was promised to the Old Testament prophets to come to save the children of Israel and then to save the world? That was his messianic role. Messiahs are supposed to have power. They're supposed to take charge. But Jesus did not come like that kind of Messiah that was expected by the Jewish people at the beginning. Peter is going to make a public confession. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But Peter never really understood it fully, because that's why Peter would deny Christ later on three times. He never really fully got it, but at least he went forward to say that. Who is Jesus to us? Is he Savior? What does it mean? Okay, if he's Savior, but what does that mean to us? Some people don't believe they need saving. There are people who have told me they don't know why we say Jesus is Savior, because they don't need to be saved. Right? They'll say, what are they being saved from? Now, friends today here, if we say we're following Jesus, we got to know who we're following. Right? So, because why are we doing this? You know, I think about that sometimes. Why are we doing it? You don't think we're just doing it for the liturgy. And we're doing it for the songs and the children singing it and the music playing. If that's all we're doing it for, I'm telling you, we're on the wrong track. It is about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about accepting him as our Lord and Savior. And being brave enough to tell the world that, yes, he is Savior and Lord. Is he only teacher? Right? Is he just prophet? Is he friend? Is he Prince of Peace? Whatever we call Jesus, we have to choose. However way we choose to define him, we had better then we are following that Jesus. Isn't it? Whatever way we choose to define, you can't be in following someone and don't know what they're about. Friends, if you've been following Jesus and you don't know what he's about, then you're really not following him, are we? We got to know what he's about. We can't follow blindly. Got to know that he is friend, he is Savior, he is prophet, he is Messiah, he is teacher, and yes, he is Redeemer. He was ransomed for us. He's Savior and Lord. And so here's Jesus with the crowd. The crowd is gathered as Caesarea Philippi. They are all here. Jesus is talking to them. And here's the question Jesus asked. Who do they say I am? That's a general question, isn't it? Who do they say I am? Right? Who do they say I am? Am I important? And then the disciples said, if I remember in the text, he says, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you're this. And then Jesus makes it personal. And he's making it personal for all of us today.
Who do you say I am? Right? He doesn't care what everybody else. Who does Marjorie Nunes say I am? Who do you say I am, Marjorie? What am I to you? Am I what you believe I am? What does it mean to you? This is relatively an easy question, the first part of the question, right? Who do everybody say I am? We could make it up. But the second part gets a little bit difficult for us. We have to think about it. I want you to take time to think about it for yourself. Not for you to give you a quiz today or to ask you to write it on a piece of paper today, but to think about it for yourself. You know, the older you get, as I have gotten older now, the older I get, is the more I'm pondering for myself who Jesus is to me. When you hit 60, if you're not pondering that, any of us who have hit that yet, I haven't. But if you hit 60, and anybody who's smiling, they know I have. If when you hit 60, you better start pondering. If you're 20, you better start pondering. If you're 30, because guess, tomorrow is promised to no one. But certainly when we get old, getting older, we better start figuring out who Jesus is to us. And if you're following the wrong person, let's change course. Do you know what I'm saying? Let's change. It's like when you get a bad GPS and it sends you somewhere you ought not to go. The other day the GPS sent me somewhere I didn't have to go. I had to turn around. We have time to turn around and to follow Jesus. Who does he say I am? And then Jesus continues. After Peter said to him, you are the Messiah. Then Jesus goes on further. And here's the word I want to leave with you today. Here's what Jesus said later on. He said, because if you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in glory. If you are ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in glory. I read that over and over again last night for myself. God, am I ashamed of you? Have I ever been ashamed of you? He said, ashamed means to be embarrassed or guilty because of one's action, characteristics, or association. Are we ashamed of Jesus? Then what? Right? Now, friends, they talk about the mainline churches dying and what's happening to Protestant churches. You know what our problem is, and I have done a lot of research and thought on this. We just think God, Jesus is God, oftentimes in many of the Protestant churches on Sunday. We have put him in a little package and put a bow on him. And we have him and we package him on Sunday. And we come in and we worship this wonderful Jesus on Sunday inside the four walls. We worship and we sing songs. We say, here I am, Lord, send me. Sometimes it makes us weep and we, our knees shake because we're here. Where you lead me, I will follow. We say the words, we say the prayers. But once we go through that door, some of us, nobody here, I hope. Nobody here, I pray. Nobody knows we're a Christian. Nobody knows who we follow. Nobody knows who we believe in. That's the test. Jesus is not asking us, who do you say I am when you come into the church? And it's a safe space. He said, who do you say I am when you're out there? When it's not so safe. When you're on your job. When you're somewhere. Do you offer a prayer to someone in the name of Jesus? Who do you say I am today? Is he only God when there's a storm in North Carolina? You see all the prayers in the Carolinas. All of a sudden there's 9/11 and there are bad things happen. And then the churches are full because there is God. Oh, let's ask God, why did it happen, God? Why did you allow it to happen? Where were you, God? But when things are going good, many people don't remember God. There is no God. Jesus is not God. Something happens and we all find God. Because only when we are stuck that we think we need God. But friends, Jesus wants us to understand that we have to be in relationship with Him all the time. In good times and in bad times. And so as I bring this sermon together, this proverb is called wisdom literature. Wisdom literature, not from my name, but wisdom meaning sayings of the wise. Saying of the wise. There are like 7 wisdom literature in the Bible. And this one is one of them. From Proverbs, there's Psalms and Proverbs and Job and Songs of Solomon and Ecclesiastics. Wisdom literature, they call them, because it gives you wise teaching. And this is a body of philosophical teaching that we could learn from. So Solomon says today, you know, wisdom cries out in the streets, in the squares. She raises her voice at the busiest corner. She cries out at the entrance of the city gate. She speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you confess delighting in scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. Give heed to my reproach. It's telling us, be smart. Be wise about who we are following. Let's not waver between two worlds. And let's be bold to let the world know that we follow Jesus Christ. Let's be bold to let people know that we believe in Him. He is our Lord and Savior. He says, but those who listen to me will be secure. So wisdom, read that Proverbs again. He's warning them. I've been teaching you. I've been telling you, says the writer. Be bold. Let people know that you believe in Jesus Christ outside of this door. Let people know that you love Him and you trust Him and He's your Savior and Lord. That He will do, He is the best friend you'll ever have. He will not leave you nor forsake you. He will take care of your children when you can't be there. He'll be the doctor in the hospital. As they used to sing a little song in the churches that says, He'll be the lawyer in the courtroom. He'll be the doctor in the hospital. They used to sing it in the African-American churches. He'll be whatever you want Him to be. But who is He to you? Have we accepted that He's our Savior and Lord? You show up in the midnight hour. He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's a bridge over troubled waters. That's Jesus. He is our provider. That's God. He is our healer. He's whatever we need Him to be. And we want the world to know that we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when our lives are going well, when we can afford everything and our children are doing well and our grandchildren are doing well, He is still God. And when things are not going so well, He is even more God. But we need to be holding on to that, friends. He's not God just only on Sunday. Let's take Him out of the closet. Everything else is out of the closet. World is out of the closet. Let Jesus be out of the closet. Take Him out. Let's tell the world about Him. Let's find Him and tell the world, I serve Jesus. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. Let's tell the world, friends. Let's be bold, because we don't want Jesus to be ashamed of us in glory. Can you imagine the thought that Jesus would be ashamed of us? So let's be bold, friends, in serving Jesus, following Him, and tell somebody about Him. Amen.